NBA draft GOAT Chad Ford, Locked On NBA draft host Raphael Barlow, and Locked On NBA host John Corrales will be live this year covering the NBA draft. It's Locked On NBA Draft 2021, brought to you by Built Bar. Get local expert analysis on each pick. Follow Locked On NBA on YouTube today and watch our live coverage on July 29th at 7 p.m. Eastern.
You are Locked On Wolverines, your daily podcast on the Michigan Wolverines. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
What on earth is going on? It's a Monday. It's not 7 p.m. To me, it's still morning, kind of. Still, but we're doing it. Locked On Wolverines Podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, where it's your team every day. I am your man on the ground, Isaiah Hull, publisher of Wolverines Wire through USA Today Sports Media Group. And this is a big week because we are, well, the network is at least back full-fledged in the sense of college football back to 5 days a week. We're going to try. I'm still dealing with some personal issues, but we're going to try to hit the 5 days. If we don't hit like Wednesday, which is my travel day, that would be one thing. But we are definitely going to hit Thursday, for instance, which is still going to be a mailbag, but it's going to be, we're going to do it super early. Because I'm going to be in Indianapolis for Big Ten Media Days, because that is happening this week. The unofficial kickoff for college football, at least for us in the media. And then, you know, Friday you'll hear snippets, I'm sure, from what Jim Harbaugh and the players had to say. If not snippets, at least my reactions to. So you at least know you'll have today. You at least know you'll have Thursday and Friday. And we're going to try to get Tuesday and Wednesday in there. And we're going to try to start doing them earlier. Like we used to do. Before I started having all kinds of maladies and personal issues that caused me to push things back. But nonetheless, it is an exciting week because we do have, like I said, the unofficial start of college football. Aaron McMahon from MLive reported this morning that as far as the players that we're getting, will be Hassan Haskins, Aiden Hutchinson, and Josh Ross. I think that's pretty much what I expected. I kind of didn't expect anything different. You're going to have... usually, you know, two players from one side of the ball, Hassan Haskins being the offensive guy makes complete sense. Would have made sense if it was Ronnie Bell as well. But I'm fine with it. I'm just excited to kind of start getting things going, you know. So we'll talk a little bit about just that, I guess. Just like kind of the fact that we're starting to kind of kick into the season. Summer's almost over for me. Essentially, not really, but I mean, kind of. I want to talk a little bit about 24/7 Sports had had like the 10 games that are the most controversial in college football. Two times Michigan ended up on this list for the wrong reasons. Whereas they're the only school that ended up being that way. So we're going to talk about that, about Michigan's lack of luck. Because it's glaring at this point. It's just so glaring. I think we'll just kind of figure it out from there. There's not a ton to really discuss. I do have to touch on, obviously, Keon Saab. We wanted to talk about this over the weekend. Weekend did not work out for me. Saab, I ended up... Saab, however you want to say it. They were saying it's Saab on CBS Sports HQ. I was thinking it was Saab, but... is what it is. Ended up committing to Clemson. Like I said, Michigan, at least I said, don't bet on Michigan, but know that Michigan's got a shot here. And I know that there's a lot of people who are going to be like, oh, you said we had a shot. Like, a shot doesn't mean that it's happening, right? So is what it is, but at least Michigan has been putting itself into really good positions when it comes to recruiting lately. Like, if you look at like any top guys, top 10 that comes out, it seems like Michigan's in it almost like more often than not. And I know Saab was considering Penn State instead of like Ohio State, for instance, but like you look at who was it that I was looking at yesterday? I don't even remember. It was a 2023 guy released a top 10 or top 8. I don't even think I've written up on this one yet. And it's like, all the SEC schools, USC and Oregon, probably Texas in there somewhere, Texas and Oklahoma. So it's like, and then Ohio State and Michigan. The fact that Michigan, despite like for all the things surrounding, Jim Harbaugh and everything, like with all of this, like especially locally, this idea that Michigan is not what it used to be. I mean, they're making their way into a lot of top groups. Now they just got to finish. Okay, so I was thinking of Curtis Perry, 4-star defensive lineman, 2022. His top 10 was Ohio State, Miami, Florida, Texas, UCF, Alabama, Oregon, Auburn, Tennessee, LSU, and Michigan. Then you have like Jaden Osbury. That's the 2023 that I'm thinking of. He's got a top 10 of Ohio State, LSU, Texas A&M, Alabama, USC, Notre Dame, Georgia, Texas, Florida, and Michigan. Like, if you were to ask most people around college football, Michigan isn't even in this conversation, but Michigan more often than not is it's in the conversation. So that's the good news, right? Like, the fact that Saab was Clemson, Georgia, Penn State, Texas A&M, LSU, and Michigan. Again, I mean, Michigan and Penn State are like the same, but people want to think of Penn State as, we've talked about this a million times, but people want to think of Penn State as being like, oh, they're just head and shoulders above Michigan. They're just that program that's right there. Michigan's so far to go. Penn State's right there. Even though there's really no evidence for that. So I think that's boding well to see that Michigan's ending up like, now they've got to finish, right? Like, no one's going to feel good about Walter Nolan if he ends up committing to Florida or Alabama, right? And if he comes out and says, yeah, Michigan, that was really close. You know, you think about DeShone Hand, no one really cared that, you know, hey, Michigan was the favorite for a long time. He ended up going to Alabama. People only care about how it finishes. So it's up to Michigan to make that happen. It's up to Michigan to find a way to finish with some of these guys. But it's a good sign that Michigan is still there in the eyes of a lot of these recruits. All right, let's talk about the 24/7 sports thing, and then we'll get to Big Ten Media Days, because I don't know that I have a ton to say about that. But we'll get to that. I'll have more to say about it probably like on Wednesday, you know, when I'm on my way. I'm going to be driving. It's in Indianapolis, so we're not going to have like we did a couple years ago where I did a mailbag on the train. That was kind of fun, but it was kind of crazy just to be, because I thought maybe I'll find like a car that doesn't have like a lot of people in it. No, there was a lot of people in it. So I'm just sitting there talking like this, like people are just trying to relax on a train. Anyway, got to talk to you a little bit about Built Bar. Y'all know how much I love Built Bar. If you don't know what it is, it's a protein bar that tastes like a candy bar. It's a high protein, low calorie, low carb. And I mean, it's everything you want. I've bought dozens of boxes. I'm telling you, they're so delicious that I usually eat two at a time. I mean, if you've listened to the show at any point, you've heard me wax poetic about how much I love Built Bar. And you know what? That's just not just a thing that I say here on the podcast. Because if you have reached out to me on your own and asked me about them, I've told you the same thing. I've also told you how my roommate ate like a whole box of Built Bar that I bought. Special edition ones that were only available that month. Still salty about it. Anyway, try it for yourself. Get addicted like I am. Go to BuiltBar.com. Use promo code LOCKED15. Get 15% off that next order. BuiltBar.com, LOCKED15. See what all the fuss is about. And why I've bought dozens of boxes of this stuff. All right. Let's discuss a little bit about this list. So 24/7 Sports had a list of the most controversial games in college football going back to the year 2000. It isn't just like it's all things to do with officiating. So it isn't just like controversial in the sense of like, not like surprising. I know that those aren't synonyms, but you know, it could very well be like, you know, surprising. Obviously, there's the trouble with the snap in 2015. I also noted in the article I wrote about this going to the Hail Mary, Cordell Stewart. It seems like, no, I'm going to get to that point later. Anyway, so two Michigan games ended up on this, and I don't think that the one is any surprise. The other one, I mean, neither of them are a surprise. The first one they listed was the 2001 game against Michigan State. Spartan Bob situation. So yeah, Spartan Bob, that's obviously, like, I didn't watch that game. Sorry, I didn't. There's a lot of personal things going on in that era of my life, but so I didn't hear about it until well after, because I just wasn't, like, able to get into sports for various reasons. So that doesn't hold, like, very much, like, gravitas in my heart in the sense of, like, thinking into controversial games, but I understand, obviously, it's Michigan State, how, you know, how that whole thing goes, and I can imagine. I mean, I was at the 2015 game and what that felt like. But the other one that was mentioned, obviously, was the 2016 Ohio State game. And it just mentions the spot, JT Barrett the spot. But I know I've said this a million times over, but to me, it isn't about the spot. Like, yeah, the spot could have been the end of the game, and it could have gone either way. To me, it was all of the other officiating things that went 100% in favor of Ohio State. Not like, you know, like, well, yeah, you win some, you lose some. No, 100% in favor of Ohio State. In the eyes of the refs, Michigan was just cheating their you-know-what off, right? To me, it really started around the time that Jim Harbaugh had the, after the turnover, and then Jim Harbaugh had the, unsportsmanlike conduct penalty, which resulted in their score, which is fine. To me, that's a fine penalty. But after that, I mean, then you started getting into the pass interference on Delano Hill, to me, is the absolute most egregious. I also like the fact that there were just no holding calls. Like, I remember watching that game and just, like, seeing holding everywhere. And there's still, Michigan still got, what, 10 sacks or pressures or something like that in that game. Like, Michigan was insane in that game when it came to getting pressure on the court on JT Barrett. Yet, zero holding calls. I hate to relitigate this game, but I mean, Delano Hill pass interference, when, especially because it wasn't called when Grant Perry was also clearly interfered with. Like, and then obviously then you have the spot. It's like, of course this was going to go Ohio State's way. Like, I understand if you're an Ohio State fan, it's awesome. But, like, when you sit and think about it, just the fact of, like, all of these things piling up, like, Michigan controlled that game until so late. And I know people say, well, don't turn the ball over, don't whatever. Hey, listen, I understand that, but, like, and Michigan should have played better. But, you know, you had a very injured quarterback starting that game. And, you know what, like, Ohio State really got all the help it could get on top of the fact that Michigan turned the ball over. Like, it was a perfect storm of things going exactly how you would draw it up for the Buckeyes to really have a perfect situation, which is frustrating to me just to watch and think of that in retrospect. So naturally there's those two games made the list, but the thing that it makes me think of is like Ohio State's on that list three times. Twice they were on the positive end. The other one that they were on the negative end was the Clemson semifinal, which to me, like, yeah, they got hosed a little bit, but they stopped playing as good. They seemed to have everything wrapped up, and then they just let Clemson right into the game, and it wasn't all about the, who was it, Sean Wade ejection or whatever. It's just one of those things where it's like, Ohio State is, like, the luckiest team. Because they're on there for, you know, for that game against Michigan. Also, the national championship game in 2002, the same kind of deal in the sense of, like, Miami thought they got this thing, right? They're celebrating. We won the championship. Wait a second. Phantom call. Ohio State's insanely talented. one of the most talented teams in the country, but I swear they also get help. And it's so, like, frustrating. But, like, it's just going down that list. So, there's so many times where it's like, oh, why can't Michigan ever be on the other end of this? They never are. Michigan's always on the, it's always, yeah, you know, Michigan won this game lost this game because of some crazy thing that happened, right? It's never Michigan won this game because a crazy thing happened. Very rarely, right? Like, the only time I can think of where it's not like an unearned, because it's one thing when it's like double overtime against Indiana in 2017 or Rutgers this last year or what was the game that was top of mind? I can't remember. I mean, Indiana in 2015 as well. Like, those games I feel like were somewhat earned. Minnesota, I think, is probably in 2015 is the only one I can think of where it's like, well, that was a bit of luck. You know what I mean? So, Michigan's just never on the right side of luck for some reason when it comes to officiating, when it comes to just plays going their way, right? It's just, it never seems to work out that way. Michigan seems to never win, like, these big games in, like, close, like if the Penn State game, right? In 2019. Of course Michigan lost that game. Like, everything was there for the comeback. Everything was there for, like, you know, Ronnie Bell to catch that pass, tie the game up. Momentum was 100% on Michigan's side. But it doesn't work that way. 2013 Ohio State. Everything seems like it is right there for Michigan to win the game on that two-point conversion, send Ohio State packing. But granted, a little stupidity by running the same offensive play that they showed before the timeout, but Michigan doesn't get that kind of luck. Whereas you look at, like, Ohio State gets luck in that game. Ohio State in 2018 gets luck in the sense of that it survives Maryland, where any quarterback could throw any kind of pass better than Tyrell Pigrome in that instance that should have sent Ohio State packing and given Michigan the Big Ten East division. Michigan doesn't get that kind of luck. I don't know what the Wolverines did to the college football gods out there, but it's I don't know. All right. I'm just ranting at this point. Let's move on. Talk a little bit about Big Ten Media Days, just what I'm expecting, what I'm excited about, I guess probably more than what I'm expecting. But first, betonline.ag. It's the fastest and easiest way to bet on all of your sports action. Listen, football might be over. The NHL is over, right? I think. I don't know. Shows you how much I pay attention. NBA's still going, right? I think I didn't see what the score of the, well, they're playing tonight, right? So I was going to say, or tonight or tomorrow. I don't remember. You can see how much I don't pay attention to sports outside of college football. Anyway, they're all in full swing. They're all doing whatever they're doing. Major League Baseball's in full swing. Tigers swept the Twins. I know that. Anyway, but online covers award shows, TV shows, reality TV, real-time updated odds and props on almost anything that you can imagine. BetOnline also has you covered for all the news, the scores, and the odds. It is the best way to place your bets, and guess what? It is free to sign up. So head over to betonline.ag, sign up today, use that promo code LOCKEDON to receive that 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. That was fun. I don't know why. All right. We're not going to spend too much time talking about Big Ten Media Days because we've got the day before. And obviously at that point, we're going to be, you know, thinking a little bit more about what to say, what's going to be going on, you know. But what we do have is obviously the unofficial kickoff to college football. The last time that I was at a Big Ten Media Days, Jim Harbaugh, Michigan was, I believe, voted to be the likely number one in the conference. Jim Harbaugh said, yeah, that's where I would put us. Things didn't exactly go that way. So I'm expecting a little bit more of a meek, you know, I don't think he's going to come out and be like, I think that we've got to win the Big Ten and I think we're going to beat Ohio State and blah, blah, blah. But what I am curious about is just his demeanor in general. because we haven't really, normally by the time that we've gotten to Big Ten Media Days, I feel like over the summer I've seen Jim Harbaugh quite a bit. Now, granted, I didn't go to any camps. There were a couple camps this year. I had conflicts for the few that were in the area, so I was not able to make any of the camps. But like normally still, like there's bigger events that I feel like we see Jim Harbaugh at. And I haven't seen him in person since after the Citrus Bowl. So January 1st, 2020, last time I've seen Jim Harbaugh in person outside of looking through binoculars from a press box. So I'm just curious to see what his demeanor is in the sense of like, there's been a complete retool. There's going to be a lot of questions about what Michigan is and what Michigan isn't. I expect that the podium session, because, you know, you have your, well, I you know that the press conference session, the normal stand up behind a dais on a dais, whatever, and address the media thing, that's going to be dominated by national media. I think that the podium session is going to be just as interesting in the sense that I feel like a lot of national people are going to be there. It's not just going to be questions about, like, because the last time we, you know, that I was there, I was like asking, like, you know, what do you expect from Daxton Hill? What can he do? I feel like we're not going to have a lot of questions as much about freshmen and things like that. I think that we'll definitely have it. I'm JJ McCarthy, I'm definitely sure is going to come up. But I'm curious to see just kind of how everything's treated. And I'm curious to see how he reacts. Is he vintage Jim Harbaugh in the sense where he's confident, borderline cocky? Or is he Stonewall Jim Harbaugh where he's just kind of like, let's just get this over with? That's what I'm curious to see. I think it'll be relatively telling about as far as what he thinks of his team, because there's a mix between stonewalling and kind of like proffering general information, which he's been doing the proffering general information thing for a while in the sense of like, I'm just going to run through how everyone's doing type thing. But if he's stonewalling and doing that, usually it's a bad sign. If he's generally kind of excited in doing it, then that's usually a good sign. I don't know. It's hard to explain. All right. That'll do it for us today. We will be back hopefully sometime in the next 2 days. Hopefully we'll be able to hit 5. I don't know if we have the material to do it, but if we can, we will. And then we'll start getting into preview stuff, I'm sure, next week and out from there. Also want to mention that I will be hosting starting this week on Thursdays the Locked On Big Ten. So check that out. That'll be happening every Thursday. We're doing a cycling rotation of hosts. Anyway, that'll do it for Locked On Wolverines today. We will be back when we are back. No promises, no guarantees, but hopefully Tuesday. We'll talk to you soon. Thanks for listening. Peace.